Good morning. The title for this talk is Don't Jerk the Trigger. isn't that what we just went through, the most powerful thing you can think of? We have our sins forgiven and the hope of resurrection. That's the most powerful thing there is in the world. And you're carrying it around with you every day. Lately, I've been, yesterday, I went and got my concealed carry permit renewed. And one of the comments that struck me there was, the instructor says, I think everybody that is qualified should carry a gun. Says, the ironic part is, this whole class is about telling you how not to use that gun. Don't want you to use it. And he said, another one of his comments was that carrying a gun makes you a better person because of what you, the responsibility and the responsibility stacked on the responsibility and then the fear of lawyers. So, anyway, so I've been studying this. I'm reading a book, of course. It's called The Book of Two Guns, The Martial Art of the 1911 Pistol and the AR Carbine. So it's I've also been reading a book called Krav Maga. It's an Israeli martial art. It was created before, when they got their state. They are not quite sure of the time frame here, but the Israelis were dumped into this Arab land and weren't allowed to have weapons, and so they figured out how to use everything else. So, lethal force. There's no fooling around in this book or in Krav Maga. It's straight to the point. The faster you can get it over with, the more likely you are to live. And and concealed carry is all about lethal force. I mean, why in the world do you carry a gun? Anyway, so I've been looking at this, and I am shocked, I guess, at how parallel the Christian walk is, and this is. I mean, the people who are teaching this stuff, I mean, it would be almost a prerequisite that you be a Christian in order to do this, because you have to have self-control, grace, understanding, awareness, all this stuff. You have to have this, or else you're going to do something stupid that you wish you hadn't done. Being aware. You know, how many people in this life, you know, they just go through life, just walking along, they get up in the morning, they go out to their car, they get in the car, and they go to work, and they come home, and then they go to bed, and they go to sleep, get up, go to work, just over and over again. And then when something happens to them, it's like, well, where'd that come from? You know, they have no clue what's going on around them. They don't think about other people. Like, what are Christians supposed to be doing? Do nothing out of selfish ambition. So we are to be aware of all the people around us and how they're acting in this stuff. concealed carry person is supposed to be aware of the people all around him. And why are they acting that way? Can I divert their behavior? Can I escape their behavior? These are all things that you don't just... Somebody's beating on the hood of your car, screaming at you and swearing at you at a red light. You don't just pull out your gun and shoot them, because then you're going to end up in jail. So you have to understand, why is this person doing this? Why are they acting this way? Um, 80% of all crime can be avoided. All you have to do is avoid young men, alcohol, and their women. And I say their women because, you know, that's it, it's called the monkey dance. And really humorous. This guy had these two gorillas, and they're got their arms locked around each other, and they're doing this dance, and it's exactly what people do. You know, somebody says something obnoxious at a restaurant, and you got your kids with you, and you say, "What's your problem?" And then the guy jumps up and says, "You got a problem with that? Let's go outside." And then the next thing you know, you're behind the restaurant trying to figure out if you need to pull your gun or what. That's the monkey dance. One person's honor is hurt. They respond. The other person's honor is hurt. And then the dance is on. And there's... it's just really hard to back down out of that. So what does a Christian need to do in this circumstance? A Christian needs to be unoffendable. Just like, okay, you know, I have no skin in this game because my skin is going to dry up and blow away. And I don't care. You can call me all the names you want. You can insult me and my family. And as long as you let us walk out of here, we're okay. So same deal goes with somebody who's concealed carry. Says, you call me all kinds of names and stuff, I whip out my gun and shoot you in the face. I'm going to be in court. That's humorous, I know. That's what I like about it. That's exactly what the guy, the instructor, said. He said, if you don't know if you need to pull your gun out, just finish the story with, and then I pulled out my gun and I shot him in the face. And just see if it makes sense. So, the pride thing is huge in this. The testosterone, it's just incredible. Now we know why man needed a helpmate, just to help him to get a handle on his life. So, it's crazy. Lethal force. What's lethal force all about? It's taking somebody else's life. What's a Christian supposed to do? We value life. Life is great. I mean, if you don't have your life, well, it's down to two choices. You're either going to heaven or you're either going to hell. And as long as you're alive, there's a chance that, I mean, the chances are better that you'll learn something and let's both go to heaven, okay? That would be perfect. That would be perfect. And so we need to be unoffendable. Turn the other cheek. Was it last Sunday? Or no, we went down and heard John Lee at Martinsdale talk about turn the other cheek. And he says his interpretation of that verse is, because the King James says, "He may strike you on the right cheek," which means, anyway, I can't remember exactly the way he explained it, but it's like I challenge you to a duel. type thing. It's an insult. It's not somebody attacking you and trying to kill you. It's somebody trying to insult you and pull you into the monkey dance and challenging you. And so you're unoffendable. So you say, okay, hit the other side. You know, you're not going to bother me. I'm not playing this game. I'm out of this. No way. Not doing it. That's another thing the guy said. He says, bar fights, you watch a bar fight, and most of the time it's just a monkey dance, and big roundhouse punches and things flying through the air. It's all, you know, pounding on chests, and me big, me get Jane, you know, had a little too much alcohol. You know, so it says a lot of pushing and shoving and strutting around. It says walk away, get out of there, run away. And this is the gun guy. Not the Christian guy, or maybe he was, but anyway. Get away, don't stay there. Avoid that place. Alright, so grace. You know, the guy's beating on the hood of your car, screaming at you. You know, I guess you offer him grace and you leave. I mean, or get out of there. I mean, don't play the game. Get out of there. Be humble and meek. I ran into this Thursday night teaching Taekwondo. I got a bunch of boys about, I don't know, 10, 12 years old. They're all the same rank. And, well, you can't believe, a yellow belt's a second level, by the way. So, can't believe when I say, line up. Man, they're scurrying. They want to be in that highest yellow spot that they can get. Well, one boy was a little slower, and he didn't get there. So, you know, what do you do then? It's political season, right? So he pulls out, I'm older. Well, that's true. If everybody started a yellow belt at the same time, then the one who gets the spot is the older one. And I have like 6 or 8 yellow belts. Anyway, the one he didn't get the spot he wanted. So he got emotional and ran to the back of the room and stand against the wall. And I was like, oh, this is new. And so I went over. Anyway, ended up getting him back in line after about 3 tries and explaining to everybody. And I rearranged everybody because none of them were in the right spot. Because if we followed the rules to the T, none of them were in the right spot. So I rearranged them. And just as I was putting the last yellow belt in the spot, in comes the door, 2 more yellow belts, and that one is supposed to be first in line. So anyway, I made this speech. It says, if you fight over your spot in line, I'm sending you both to the back of the room. And you stand in the back of the room. So be humble. Be meek. Don't let that honor, that pride thing get you into that monkey dance of proving how big you are in that. And I said, just take the spot you get and let your deeds prove how good you are. I think that worked. I think everybody's okay now. Okay, moving on. Proverbs 16 and 18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That sums it up. That haughty spirit, you know. I deserve this. I demand that I get this. And then you end up having to fight for it. And you may wish you hadn't ended up having to fight for it. So, I mean, what's our greatest gift? What's our most powerful thing? What are we carrying around in our waistband? We have the forgiveness of our sins and the hope of resurrection. So, what? Only a shadow between. I mean, this is just a blip on the timeline. This is next to nothing. Next to nothing here. Nothing to die for here. Okay. We are in a spiritual war. I've been listening to some old conferences, spiritual leaders or whatever. Anyway, and this guy is, sometimes I think he's a little over the top, but he's really into the spiritual war thing. And everything in his life is tied into this. Like getting to the conference, he had trouble getting there. And he was attributing that those problems to the devil keeping him, trying to keep him from doing a good work. Could be, I don't know. But he's definitely aware, isn't he? He doesn't have his head stuck in the sand. He's definitely not just laissez-faire his way through life. He's definitely got a purpose and an aim. He's being aware. 1 Peter 5:8. I'm going to go there. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." So you got to be watching. You got to be watching. How many times do I get blindsided by something and think, not again? You know, we were talking about this in class. Like, the same old trick, same old thing, hits me right upside the head again. I wasn't looking. I had forgotten to watch for it. The devil, why is he roaring like a... Why is he roaring? Because what do predators do? Like, people predators. They watch. They're watching. If you aren't watching, they are. They're watching you, and they're trying to see, all right, who's carrying their purse like they don't really want it? Or whose body language is saying, I'm just nothing. I'm just going to roll over and play dead. You know, because they're definitely watching. And so we need to be watching as well. We need to be watching them. That's what predators do. They roar. See who's scared. Who jumped. Who flinched. All right, that's who I'm going after. Who can't run quite so fast. You know, that kind of thing. They know who's the weakest. And a lot of times, if you resist them, then they'll flee. We watched a funny video. It was an internet cafe. And these two guys come busting in there, you know, hoodies and the ball bat and the shotgun. They come busting in there and they're pushing people around. And this old guy in shorts pops up, starts shooting. And man, those two guys, I mean, they had to jump on them. They were falling down and slipping and sliding and out the door they went. Of course, he broke several laws by continuing to shoot at them, but nobody got hurt, so I... Anyway, but... So resist. Resist. And the devil will flee. That's James 4 and 7. Okay. I want to get to what I want to talk about, mostly. This was a light bulb moment for me. This is a book I love. Right here. It's my kind of book. It's like a book of Proverbs. There's no plot. It's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on one page. And it's just all, the whole book's that way. Just little tidbits. There's no build up. There's no let down. There's just nugget, 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 nugget. Love it. Okay. Anyway, the light bulb came on page, let's see, 23. You can see all my sticky notes sticking out of there. It's not mine, so I can't write in it. Okay, self-talk. You say to yourself, don't jerk the trigger. Think about it. If you're trying to hit a target and you pull that trigger too hard, what happens? The end of the barrel moves. And then the bullet goes somewhere else. Doesn't hit the target. Or not where you wanted it on the target. The subconscious mind processes this as jerk the trigger, because it doesn't recognize negative qualifiers. There's something I don't really know what it is, but it's pretty sure it's words that don't end in NT, apostrophe NT. Therefore, you are programming the exact opposite of what you are striving for. The proper statement would be press the trigger. Eventually, this could be shortened to simply press. Now, think about this in context of what we were talking about in class this morning. I screwed up again. I did that again. So what do? I tell myself, don't say that. Don't be that way. Don't look at that. So what's my body hearing? Say that. Be that way, and look at that. No wonder I can't succeed. If my subconscious mind, now whether this is true or not, I don't really know. Let's just consider it for a minute. If it is true, I've been training myself incorrectly. I'm always telling myself, don't do that, and don't do that. Well, my body's gone, or my subconscious mind's gone, oh. He wants to do this, this, and this. Doesn't that sound like Paul? I mean, I don't do what I want to do. I do what I don't. Yeah, on and on. So, assuming this is true, I can change my speaking pattern. Now, you just try, and don't put words in your speech that don't have that apostrophe NT on the end of it. You can't even read the Bible. They're all through there. But, and I don't even think we can talk without them. It's impossible, I think. But if we can change this loop and start this over again, I mean, if I was doing something at work, Doug's not here. Good. Okay. And I'm doing something at work that's just really tearing up my rotator cuff, and I just keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. There's got to be some. All right, I'm moving wrong. I'm doing something wrong. Or I need to change something. Something needs to change. And the reason I choose that is because I'm kind of going through the same thing. So I'm not picking on Doug, picking on me. So something needs to change if you're doing, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. Something needs to change. So if I'm, what's the Church of Christ been classified as? A church that doesn't do this, doesn't do that, doesn't do this. It's true. If you want to avoid trouble, the gun people tell you, avoid young men, alcohol, and bars. Okay, there you go. Church of Christ. Anyway, so we need to change how we talk to ourselves. Change that subconscious talking to ourselves. Consider my words very carefully, how I say things. Press the trigger. How many times have I've gone to several classes, and one thing is, you got to be delicate with that trigger. If you're wanting to be hitting your target exactly where you want to hit it, not combat shooting, but sniper type shooting, you have to be treat that trigger as if it's the finest part of that gun. Okay, so I have triggers in my spiritual life. I can't do certain things. There's certain things I have to avoid. Certain things that if I get around, it's like, yep, it's over. You know, I gotta stay away from these triggers. Okay, I don't want to jerk the trigger. I want to press the trigger. So it changes the way my brain reacts to it. Okay, so if this is true, I will consider my words carefully. And is that Christian? Yeah. Controlling the tongue. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff on that. Considering my words carefully. And the second one, my subconscious will work in my favor. Wouldn't that be a nice change? How many times have you been going through life and all of a sudden you're like, how did I get in this hole? Like, I didn't even see it coming, you know. So, subconscious will be working in my favor. And I will be enjoyable to be around. What did we talk about this morning? We are to be joyful people. We are to be people that I want to be around. They're just nice to hang around with. They use their words wisely. I mean, how many times has that been a reason you don't want to hang around with somebody? It's because they're just painful to be around because of the way they talk and stuff. So, okay. And instructions to others will be positive. If you want to learn something, teach it to somebody else. I have learned that in Taekwondo is something you pick up easily will be like picking up 300 pounds to somebody else. And then you get the task of trying to figure out how to break that down into 5-pound weights so that they can eventually get all 300 pounds. It's a very interesting experience. So now, I'm going to read two more readings out of here, and then we'll go to some scripture here. Okay. This is something I think everybody, I want to read this to my Taekwondo class. Anybody who's alive should know this. Okay. Incorrect techniques can be learned just as easily as correct techniques. The subconscious, where you actually learn, doesn't know the difference. Training is made up of repetition. Anytime you do something incorrectly, you are increasing the chance you will do it wrong when your life depends on your performance. It is harder to relearn or break a bad habit than it is to learn it in the start. Your first attempts at a new skill are the most critical. At no time should you worry about speed. The body performs better when operating at a natural speed. When training, you should focus on the performance, not the outcome. I see this in Taekwondo all the time. People practice sloppy in class. I tell them, practice like you mean it. Practice like you mean it. Then they get the test. And at test, they're like, there's these strange people sitting at a table in front of me, staring at me, watching everything I do. And the nerves and the heart rate and the vision narrows and all this stuff starts tensing up. And what do? They do exactly what they did in class. Sloppy. So, practice like you mean it. Same goes with here. Practice like you mean it. And then for us people who talk to ourselves, page 43. I thought this was interesting because self-talk, a lot of times when we think of self-talk, we think of what's going on in our brains, okay? We don't usually say that out loud. Occasionally I'll say, oh, that was stupid, and then I get in trouble. But anyway, so I've learned to be quiet, which doesn't help. Okay, talking to ourselves is also a good way to learn new technique or practice your skills. Studies have shown that verbally coaching yourself is ingrained into your subconscious and will retain more material mentally. So talking yourself through it. When you're doing something, coach yourself through it. Say you are wanting to talk with somebody at work, ask them to have a Bible study. Talk yourself through it. It gets your imagination going. It will. If your brain thinks you've done it once already, then next time when it really happens, then your brain goes, "Oh, we've been here already," and then it will. You will be more relaxed, more able to do that in the real life, in the real instance, which is also a very strong point against or for being very careful about what you do put into your brain, because if your subconscious can't tell the difference between reality and what is imagined, just think of some of the things, the images, the pictures that we see that we put into our head, and then our brain doesn't know the difference from the picture and reality. So be careful. Be alert. Be aware. Be careful of what you're doing. Okay. Let's go to Ephesians 4. This is very common. Ephesians 4 and 20, and I'm going to read through 5 and 2. I'll be reading out of the NIV. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now you see here, this is going to be a pattern we're going to see. They're going to say, don't do this, and then they're going to follow it up with, do this. So, don't jerk the trigger, press the trigger. Okay? So, I don't know if this is making any sense to you guys or not, but to me, this was a light bulb moment. People have talked about this. I think I've probably even talked about similar things, but it just, the way it's worded makes a difference. So we're going to read through this here. Let's see. To be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Now, this next verse says, in your anger, do not sin. I like the way the King James's version worded. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Now, I don't know if I got my negative qualifier. I don't know if I have those down right or not, but be ye angry and sin not doesn't have the negative qualifier in it. Whereas in the NIV it says, in your anger do not sin. So if you take the negative qualifier out, it says, in your anger sin. Or maybe not sin. I don't know. Anyway. I'll have to talk with some English people about that, I guess. Okay. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live the life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And you can go on. There's more to read. It just keeps going on. It says, replace this with this. And I think a lot of people, myself included, we focus on, I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that. Not going to do that. And then I just trip and fall right into that hole. Riding a bike, they tell you, if you're coming up on a curve on the road and there's gravel on the curve, you see the gravel and you see where you want to go, where there's no gravel, okay? You focus on where you want to go, not where you don't want to go. Because if you focus on, I don't want to go there, don't want to go there, and that's where you're going to go. Even a mechanical thing like riding a bicycle, you have to focus on where you want to go, not where you don't want to go. So, anyway, those are my thoughts for today. We have great and wonderful power tucked into our tents, our bodies here. I think a tent is a good, you just pull a post out of a tent and it just, you know, our lives are kind of like that. You just pull the plug and we just flutter away and into a pile of matter and our life is over. And we have this powerful, that's why we have confidence, right? Why do people carry 45s, you know, all this weaponry? Why did they carry swords? Why did they carry bows and arrows? Why did they carry armor and chainmail and all this stuff? To preserve their life, to have that confidence that you can't hurt me, or it's sure going to be difficult to hurt me. Why do people take martial arts? Why do people do any of this stuff? It's to have confidence so they can walk in peace. That's why they do that. That's the human side. The spiritual side is we don't even need that stuff, because even the most vulnerable, weakest person, human being on the earth, if they have Jesus Christ and the hope of his resurrection, they have the forgiveness of their sins and the hope of the resurrection, they could be murdered in the most brutal, terrible way imaginable, and they still have peace because they know where they're going afterwards. They know that once their tent falls down and flutters to the ground, that's not the end of it. That they have an earthly or a heavenly mansion waiting for their spirit, so to speak, to go to. So that's where we get our peace, our confidence, is in Christ Jesus. And we have that. And it's tucked into our belt and ready to be used. And that should give us great confidence and and help us to be able to walk in peace. So, if there's anybody here who needs to reenact that confidence, that peace, to reestablish it, maybe is a better word, or to pick it up for the first time, we can come forward as we stand, sing the closing song, and we can help you.